The Hayes Advantage with Kathleen Hayes and Vonnie Quinn. On demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Free for iPhone and Android devices.
Joining us now to discuss this is Leslie Gelb. We're very happy to have him back on the show. The last time he was on, he said that the U.S. needed to cut the baloney on Ukraine. We'll find out where he thinks we are now. Les, of course, is President Emeritus at the Council on Foreign Relations. So, you said that time, cut the baloney, help Putin walk away from his Ukraine aggression, or we could all plunge into an ugly new cold peace. Les, it looks like we didn't cut the baloney because it seems like that's where we're heading.
Well, if you cut the baloney, there'd be no foreign policy. Most foreign policy is baloney. Look, we're in a terrible situation in Ukraine, in the South and East China Seas, in Syria, and almost every place you turn, because we just don't have the wherewithal to impose any short-term solutions. In fact, if you look at the Ukraine situation, the heart of the matter is this. Almost all the short-term power is in the hands of Putin. The longer-term power is in our hands. You know, we can bring economic weight to bear, but only over a good amount of time, not in the short run. And Russia will feel that over time. But in the meantime, they've got 40,000 troops on the border, and the kind of economic and political sanctions we're seeking to impose on them really won't hurt that
much. Well,
unless
when you know last week what the observers were seized, some of them still being held, who came in.
Yes.
You know, I mean, I just wonder what, but maybe. The more, it just seems that the more Putin is allowed to get away with, the more he does. And maybe this is just what the rest we have to accept. You know, people don't want a war. They don't want to fight. They don't want to commit troops. We don't want to spend money.
Well, they don't. You know, the polls here in this country and Europe in spades don't want to get involved in any kind of military force. And in any event, the Russians can apply much more force on Ukraine, which is right on their borders, than we could or NATO could. And, you know, the economic sanctions, as you can see, are not going to bring Moscow to its knees.
They won't bring Moscow to its knees, but they'll cause an awful lot of inconvenience all the same, Les.
In the long run. In the short run, these guys can adjust to it and adapt to it, particularly the billionaires who have been targeted in the last several weeks.
Mm.
They can deal with it.
Is Russia quite content to become an isolationist-type country? There was a report in the FT over the weekend that it's also now trying to set up a payment system so that people will, you know, won't even need to rely on the likes of Visa or MasterCard for getting money, for example.
Well, they might try to do that. It's not going to work. No. There are very few people who would honor a Russian MasterCard. So I don't think we have to worry about that. Look, they're trying to build up some long-range resistance to the long-range economic power we can exert.
Now, are you at all sympathetic with the view that the West, U.S. and Europe, misplayed relationships with Russia, not showing enough consideration for, not seeing that there's a Eurasian economic community building, not seeing that Russia would see the turn towards the European Union by a country like Ukraine as a threat to them? That's what many have argued, that you may not like what Putin's doing, but that there is a logic to it.
I certainly argued that months ago, and I think the EU made a mistake in just trying to grab off the whole Ukrainian economy because they weren't sensitive to the fact, which if they thought about it for 2 seconds, they would have realized that the Russians considered Ukraine sort of under their umbrella. And if you were going to pull the Ukrainian economy all westward, it would seriously diminish the Russians' view of their power. And they were going to act. They were going to do something. So I think they made a mistake. I think the Ukrainians made a mistake in having terrible governments for the last 30 years. You know, those damn governments were all corrupt. The ones that were pro-Ukrainian, the ones that were pro-Russian, and the economy of Ukraine diminished by 30% over the last 3 decades. That's horrendous. And it's a reflection of the thievery that went on there.
Is Vladimir Putin just trying to prevent Ukraine from joining the European Union eventually, Les, as one of our guests said last week?
You know, we don't know. I can say that too, but I don't know. We don't know exactly where he's going with this, whether he's going to try to pull off a little piece of eastern Ukraine and call it quits, or pick up other pieces of the territories that lie on Russian borders.
I suppose that a similar sort of move to what the U.S. did today with the sanctions list, including the OAO Rosneft CEO. How in sync are the EU and the United States when it comes to this? I mean, those 15 names, I think we had 17 names. Are they going to be the same names, or do we have...
Yeah, they're the same names.
Okay.
And we are in coordination on those moves, but they're individually oriented. They'll hit the companies indirectly, but there's nothing that the Europeans are prepared to do that will impair or in any way put at risk their oil and gas flow from Russia. They're not ready to do that. And that's the one that will really hurt.
If they did something with the oil and gas, you're saying, that's what would really hurt them.
Because the majority of Russian exports go to Europe.
Well, interestingly enough, we were speaking with an oil analyst in London on Friday, and he was saying that, you know, even during the height of the Cold War, there was really no problem with oil trading, and that no matter how bad this gets, we're not going to mess with the sending of oil or reversing pipelines or any of that nonsense. Do you think that that's true, Leslie?
Well, we didn't have as much, that is, the West Europeans didn't buy nearly as much oil and gas from Russia during the Cold War as they have the last 30 years. It's much greater now.
Well, I suppose the risk would be, too, that the United States might take or expedite some of the steps that would allow, quicker deployment of the kind of facilities we would need to export liquefied natural gas, to do the things that are in the works, but certainly not going to come on board anytime soon.
Yeah, we'd have to wait, that is, the West Europeans would have to wait at least a year and a half, maybe more, to get real substitutes for the amount of oil and gas they now get from Russia.
Listen, here's what I want to know. Is there a danger? I mean, I just had one of our very, someone who's become a friend through tweeting and listening to this show, Larry Grew, say, you know, ask people, would anybody be willing to reinstitute the draft in order to defend Ukraine? Okay, fair enough. Most Americans would say, heck no. Right. But is there a danger when the leader of a large country like Russia, which has a lot of oil and gas reserves, so they can pay for a lot of stuff, starts chipping away? I mean, it's one thing to say Ukraine has a lousy government, but, you know, basically they are just, they're crossing borders in sovereign nations. And is there a danger in standing by and letting that happen? Is there any danger this gets bigger? Any danger that Europe, who has never, they don't act, right? U.S. acts, not Europe. They don't come together and act.
That's pretty much the case.
Of not stepping in and doing something.
That's pretty much the case. The Europeans don't want to take risks, and they have severely cut back on their armed forces and their military capability. And, you know, most of NATO, it's always been true, but it's truer today. Most of NATO's military capability is us.
So is this the card you think the president's playing? He's trying to get Europe to do something they traditionally don't do, and is that the right way to go? Or if we don't, is there something we face in a year or 5 years that we would look back and say, boy, oh boy, we should have stepped in back in 2014?
You always say, boy, oh boy, we should have done something else. That's inevitably the case. Look, the heart of the problem is this. You've got to decide. Obama's got to decide. Congress has got to decide whether or not it's prepared to put United States forces at risk and to risk a war. You know, people don't realize it. More than 90% of Americans don't realize that we have NATO treaty commitments to the Baltic states that sit right on Russia's borders, Lithuania, Latvia, Estonia. We're committed to their defense, and we've got no capability now to defend them. President Clinton extended NATO to all those countries, and now we've got this military commitment. Americans don't know about that, and we certainly don't have the capability to defend those countries.
Well, in other words, then, President Putin can really just sit back and wait. Is that what you're saying, Les? And at the very least, the U.S. will be embarrassed.
He can't sit back and wait, because, as I said, in the long run, we've got most of the power. and we can make them really hurt economically over time, cutting them off from banking, cutting them off from exports, and that will happen over time. The question is to get to the future without their gobbling up their neighbors. And the only way you can prevent them from gobbling up their neighbors is, one, make them aware that that future is indeed coming, and two, decide whether or not you're prepared to take any military risks. And you haven't had people on this show, and I haven't heard anyone on any show say, I'm prepared to go to war with Russia over those countries.
Do you think John McCain, Senator John McCain, would take it that far?
Not a chance. And he hasn't said it. He hasn't come close to saying it. What happens in situations like this, as you well know, because you've interviewed these people, my colleagues in the foreign policy field, who talk tough, but then when you ask them exactly what they would do, they don't say.
Well, then, Les, is it your view, though, that Putin will probably grab more? Putin will continue on this course, but at some point, this will hit their economy so hard that even Putin will have to say that's it, that he'll stop short, for example, of marching into Latvia to some region where there's a lot of Russian speakers to come to their aid.
Yeah, I want to get to that future as quickly as possible, and that will depend in good part on the diplomatic skill of the Obama administration in getting the Europeans to stand up.
How would you rate that so far?
Not high.
Who should be tasked with it, do you think, Les?
Well, you know, if I were president, I'd ask Jim Baker to do it, George H.W. Bush's Secretary of State. He's very good at that stuff.
Interesting. Jim Baker.
Oh, he was a tough Treasury Secretary, and I like it. That's a good idea, Les. I think that's interesting.
He was Secretary of State also.
That's right. That's right. And not a man who you want to mess with. Anybody who covered him as a reporter can tell you that for sure. Les Galb, thank you so very much.
The Hayes Advantage, weekdays at 10 a.m. Eastern, in New York on Bloomberg 1130, in Boston on 1200 a.m. and 94.5 FM HD2, or on Sirius XM Satellite Radio Channel 119. Copyright 2014, Bloomberg LP.